It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Hey, tourism is a big part of the economy of this state. So why do we so often decide to spend our dollars in neighboring states when there's so much to do in Wisconsin? So I'm new here, and so exploring Wisconsin is at the top of my list. And Stephanie Klett is going to help me figure out where to go. Klett is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and she's got an encyclopedic knowledge of all the touristy things that Wisconsin has to offer. Stephanie, welcome to the program. No, Stephanie is not there. We are taking your calls here at 1-800-642-1234. We want to know what your favorite place is that you have visited in Wisconsin. What are the places that you have really, really wanted to go, just kind of never got to? And it's kind of surprising. People look at you and go, you're Wisconsinite and you've never been there? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email at ideas@wpr.org. If you so choose, you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. You can also, right now, we've got this conversation going on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Stephanie, welcome to the program. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, Carrie. Welcome to Wisconsin.
Thank you very much. I've been told that you wanted to start with Frank Lloyd Wright. I lived in Chicago for a number of years. I love Frank Lloyd Wright. Tell me about his Wisconsin roots and what we can see of him here in Wisconsin.
Well, I have some really good news to report in first, and then we're going to talk about our Frank Lloyd Wright trail here in Wisconsin, but also Illinois is copying our trail now. So I love that. I just got back from New York City, and I'm really proud of my team at Travel Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. We're the smallest cabinet-level agency, which is 24 employees, but we pack a mean punch. It's a $20.6 billion tourism industry in our state. Yeah. So we got nominated for the public relations work that we did on the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail. And that includes, you know, how we put the trail together, what sites would be visited, the earned media. We worked with media outlets from across the world and got about $54 million of free press for the Wisconsin Trail. And so I was just in Times Square in New York City on the red carpet.
Wow.
And the Wisconsin Department of Tourism won the Silver Anvil Award.
Yay!
So, yes, I was so proud of our team because it really is the Academy Award for Public Relations. And most people in PR work their entire life and will never get even a nomination. So the fact that we won just lets you know about the strength of his building and his architecture here in Wisconsin.
I think it says the strength of your team, actually, and congratulations. That's really, really wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you
so
very much.
So tell me all the things that you have told the world about this Frank Lloyd Wright Trail.
Well, one, you know, he's a true Wisconsinite. He was born in Richland Center. And throughout his entire life, you know, of course, he built his home, Taliesin and Spring Green, which is just stunning.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a Wisconsinite and you have never been to Taliesin, it's one of those things you take for granted. It's almost like saying you've never been to Lambeau Field. You know, there's a hush over the crowd. And so what we did is, he created so many buildings around the world, but some of his most unique are right here in Wisconsin. And again, we take it for granted. So we created a trail, and it was hard because he created over 40 different buildings here in Wisconsin. And Frank Lloyd Wright enthusiasts will debate, well, it's 48, and some will say it's 46, and some will say it's 41. But we know it's over 40. And so obviously we can't put all 40 on this list because they're not all open to the public. So we chose 9 based on the strength of what they offer architecturally and in terms of the arts, what will truly inspire. So I like to tell folks, if you can, you know, it doesn't matter where you start the trail, but in Racine, you're going to find 3 of his most amazing buildings, the S.C. Johnson Administration Building and the Research Tower. And then, of course, Wingspread, which is in Wing Point, you know, kind of attached to Racine. But why I recommend people start with the S.C. Johnson Administration Building because it's been called one of the top 25 buildings of the 20th century.
Wow.
He designed everything down to the furniture. And I think the most impressive that people will be blown away with is called the Great Workroom. So it is a half acre of open space and massive tree-inspired columns. So you've never seen a building like it. These columns are massive. It almost looks like they're holding up a lily pad.
Wow.
They have elevators that they call the birdcage. When you go in, and if you're a little claustrophobic, you might not want to do it, but you will feel like you're in a birdcage. And it runs from the basement to the penthouse. And then just a decade later, he completed the research tower. And that is one of the world's tallest cantilevered buildings. So like the administration building's 43 miles of glass windows, he used thousands of Pyrex tubes so it would reduce the glare and refract light in the tower.
Wow.
So that's what I mean when we talk about how he's a guy before his time, how he really is America's architect and one of the world's great architects. You know, imagine doing this in the 1930s. And he really was a guy before his time. And then in Racine, you'll also find Wind Point. And this is something he did for the Johnson family. So not only the worldwide headquarters of S.C. Johnson, but he was commissioned to build the family estate of H.F. Johnson, Jr. So he was the third generation leader of the S.C. Johnson Company. So he has these four wings jutting out across 14,000 square feet of space. And he finished this also in 1939, and he called it Wing Spread because, you know, of how the wings make it look. And it is the largest of his Prairie School houses. And so that's really what he's famous for. People
right.
will call it the Prairie-style architecture. So Racine is a great place to start your Frank Lloyd Wright adventure.
So, okay, Racine. And then everybody, I lived in Chicago for 23 years, and everybody takes their kids from Chicago to Wisconsin Dells. I have never been. And, of course, the fact that all of the people from out of state go to Wisconsin Dells makes it kind of like not a place that locals want to go to. Why should locals go to the Dells?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, first of all, you know, it is really the water park capital of the world. That's not just a slogan. You know, it has the largest concentration of water parks in the world. It has more than 20 indoor and outdoor water parks. So why everyone should go, especially in the summer, is kind of like today. You don't know what weather's coming at you. And when you're staying at one of the indoor water parks, you can still go surfing inside.
Wow.
You're still going to have buckets of water, you know, dumped on you. You can still catch a wave. You can do the lazy river. So it really doesn't matter what the weather is. And I think especially when you have young kids, that can really put a damper on things. So Wisconsin Dells, you know, we know it today for just kind of being crazy with all this stuff to do. You know, I mean, we've got the fudge shops and the go-karts and, you know, it's kind of like our version of Vegas for kids.
Right.
But it's got a fascinating history, both geologically and what it offers people. So, you know, the Dells became a tourism town about 150 years ago. And folks were coming by train, mostly from Chicago, and they wanted to do rowboats of the Wisconsin River, because they had seen these great images of the river and the sandstone bluffs that were taken by H.H. Bennett back in the mid-1800s. And, of course, H.H. Bennett, there's a state historic site in Wisconsin Dells dedicated to him and his work. Again, another man before his time, he captured an image of a dog jumping between two sandstone bluffs in the Dells that became iconic. It's almost how we look at Ansel Adams. It had that kind of power and effect, but it was Wisconsin Dells. So you can visit the state historic site. They expanded from the water parks now to, you're going to see world class, and I mean one of the magicians and illusionists up there was ranked number three in the world. You can see great magic shows. You can see dinner theater. You can experience country music shows, rock shows, great festivals and events year-round. So the Dells has really become a year-round destination now, and not just about the water park.
Can you still take the boat tours?
Oh, absolutely, and they're gorgeous. And you absolutely have to do it because you get off, and there's a place called Witch's Gulch that you walk through this boardwalk with, again, these massive boulders. and green moss growing on them, and you feel otherworldly. You don't even feel like you're in Wisconsin, and it's cooler. It, you know, I feel like I'm in Land of the Lost, if you remember that cartoon on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And you'll feel like you're in Land of the Lost. So absolutely, the boat tours are still going, as are the ducks.
We are talking about being a tourist in your own state, that state being Wisconsin, of course, because why would you go anywhere else? We'll be back with Tourism Secretary Stephanie Collette to talk museums, more boat tours, trails, and everything else in a moment. It's The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about all the tourist spots you probably write off but shouldn't. And we're doing that with Stephanie Collette. She's the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. We are taking your calls and tweets and Facebook posts today, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org, tweet us at WPR Mornings, or go to our Ideas Network Facebook page. And we actually have a suggestion on the Facebook page from Linda. She recommends the Botanical Gardens in Janesville. You can weigh in, too. Go to our Facebook page. We are talking right now to Stephanie Collette. She is the Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Tourism. Thank you for being here, Stephanie.
Well, thank you, Carrie. And Linda, whoever Linda is, thank you for calling in, because she's referring to the Rotary Botanical Gardens in Janesville. And I truly think it's one of the best things that you're going to see in all of Rock County. They've got English gardens and just got the koi ponds. They've got bridges and water, and it's stunning. And in the winter, they do one of the best light displays, in the state of Wisconsin, hands down. It is stunning. So all you have to do is Google some of those images, and you'll be like, okay, I'm going to Janesville.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. So we've gone through Wisconsin Dells. Everybody tells me that I need to go to Cave of the Mounds. What is that?
Okay, so Cave of the Mounds you would love. It is a cave. You got to do a little splunking.
Mm.
Only it's easy. I tell people, if you are claustrophobic, and many folks are, that minus one tiny section that lasts 10 seconds, that you're still walking. You're not on your hands and knees. You're not crawling through. This is a great cave. It was discovered in the 1930s. It's a national natural landmark. Discovered as these folks were nearby blasting. They were quarry workers, and that's how they discovered this cave. What I love about it in the summer is it's always 55 degrees. It's a cave. So in the winter, 55 feels really warm. In the summer, this weekend, when it's going to be 92, it is perfect. So the tours are 1 hour. It's family-friendly. And you're going to learn about, you know, the cave geological features like stalactites, stalagmites, columns. By the way, I mix those two up all the time. One of them comes from the top and the other comes
right,
from the
bottom.
Right, yeah,
me too.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Cave of the Mounds is one of those things that a lot of people across the state do when they're a kid, you know, and the kids are blown away by it. But then you kind of forget it. You're like, oh, yeah, I did that when I was a kid. It was really cool. Go back to it as an adult, because now you're really going to learn about the history of the cave, the important features of it. They do things from fossil digs to having beautiful picnic grounds. So it really is a great place to spend several hours. And one other thing about the Cave of the Mounds, the general manager is a guy named Joe Klimczak, and he serves on my tourism council at the Department of Tourism. They are Travel Green certified. And what that means is Travel Green Wisconsin is something that the Wisconsin Department of Tourism created years ago so people leave a lighter carbon footprint. And it has everything to do with, you know, if you're a hotel, you know, low-flow toilets or showers, to how you recycle. But the Cave of the Mounds, because it is an ecological treasure for our state, is Travel Green Wisconsin certified. So they really take what they have as a precious commodity.
We are talking to Stephanie Klett about tourism in Wisconsin. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Becky from Wind Lake, you have a suggestion.
Yes, I do. Good morning.
Good morning.
My suggestion is the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo. And I know you guys just talked about the Dells, but I personally am a craniac, and it is the only place in the world that has each of the 15 species of cranes on site. And it's not just a zoo, it's a conservation area. It talks about the history of the cranes, the history of why Wisconsin and how Wisconsin got involved, the people that got involved. And, of course, it's international because they work with a variety of countries and other conservationists to save cranes worldwide.
Mm.
And I just think in a little tiny area in Wisconsin that used to be farmland, now it's a center to save cranes worldwide, and it's just an exceptionally beautiful place and very educational. So I would recommend anybody to go.
So thank you, Becky. That's actually a great recommendation. So if you are heading that direction for something else, also you can go take a few hours and go to the Crane Foundation. Stephanie, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I've been to the Crane Foundation several times, and Becky, thank you for that call because she is right. And again, you know, here you have Wisconsin Dells so close by,
right.
But then you have this this amazing place. And truly, the International Crane Foundation can be credited for bringing back the crane population. And what they do, I can't even explain it because it's marvelous. And the day I was there, I got to see a total chance, a mating dance. I believe it's spring and fall, and the 2 days in spring and fall really mirror each other. And I saw a mating dance that I've never seen anything like it because the cranes jump up and they float. And what they did with teaching the cranes what their migratory, reteaching them what their migratory patterns were with an ultralight plane. So it is a magnificent facility. World class. And so, Becky, thank you for that call.
And do you learn there what the history of the cranes are and why it exists, why they have to reteach them?
Yes, literally. And I tell you what, you'll never meet a more educated staff. You can't throw a question at them that they can't answer. And so just to see all the different crane species, and literally some of these were out the door. They were ready to be extinct. And so really what the International Crane Foundation has done is remarkable.
My kids are coming in next week. I was thinking, everybody has been saying to me, you need to go to Devil's Lake, you need to go to Devil's Lake. That is also in Baraboo, so that's something that we can do a weekend and maybe go to the Crane Foundation and Devil's Lake State Park. What is so amazing? Why do people keep telling me to go to Devil's Lake?
Well, number one is they have these incredible geological formations. So there's a couple that you have to do. And if you're an online person, a social media person, they are the best pictures. One is called Devil's Doorway, and the other is called Balanced Rock. So those two formations you need to hike to. I think another reason that they're saying you have to go to Devil's Lake State Park is it has it all. You know, it has these 500-foot quartzite bluffs. It has a 360-acre lake, and obviously it's a no-wake lake. So people swim in it, mm-hmm. They kayak, and it is smooth as glass. You know, it's 15,000 years ago, it was created by the glaciers that were receding. This is one of my favorites in the state because it is so unusual. Year after year, when they do, like, hey, top 10 state parks in the U.S., you're going to see Devil's Lake State Park because it's so unique. But also, I have to do a shameless plug. Travel Wisconsin has these selfie stands, and we put them up at 10 state parks where, you know, when you're with your family or if you're a solo traveler and you want to capture how beautiful it is, but it's either just you or no one's around to take a picture, we created these selfie stands that you put your cell phone in. You can share the picture if you want, but they're very natural-looking. They don't stick out. It's not like all of a sudden you see, oh, what is this stamp doing in the middle of this beautiful park? Fits right in. And it's such a hit that 40 other Wisconsin state parks asked for them. so we're delivering them right now and through July. But Devil's Lake State Park, they thought, well, gosh, we don't want to have a selfie stand because it's so beautiful and will it ruin it? So they said, well, we'll try one. Well, now they've asked for two. So as you're traveling around, if you have no one to take a picture, you're all set.
We are talking to Stephanie Klett about traveling in Wisconsin. We are also taking your calls and Facebook and tweets, 1-800-642-1234. You can use old-fashioned email at ideas@wpr.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nicole actually posted on the Ideas Network Facebook page. She writes, if you like to travel back in time, try Old World, Wisconsin. Where is that, Stephanie?
Old World, Wisconsin, and Nicole, great recommendation. It's in Waukesha County in the town of Eagle, and I just love that name, Eagle. It is the world's largest outdoor living immigrant room, or museum, I should say, because you're talking about acres and acres, so big that they have this kind of special tram that'll take you around, or bring your walking shoes because you will be walking miles. So picture, you know, Wisconsin, our ethnic history is so interesting. And, you know, a lot of times we think of our German history. Well, when you're there, you will see that. You're just going to see our ethnic heritage throughout the centuries and how they farmed in the 1800s. A church, a blacksmith, you know, area. So it is, it's, they even have a town hall. I got in a debate with issues from the 1800s. It's awesome. So it's interactive. You're walking through real historical buildings from Wisconsin that have all been brought to Old World, Wisconsin. So I think that is a must for everybody. It's one of our state historic sites, one of our many great Wisconsin historic sites.
That sounds really cool. I will head there. There is a house on a rock. Some guy built a house on a rock. And there is some, from what I understand, there's some contention about how he built it, whether it was Frank Lloyd Wright inspired or not. Tell us about House on the Rock.
You know, it's interesting you say that because it is in Spring Green, and that's Frank Lloyd Wright territory. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, and a lot of people think it's one of his buildings. It is not. It's the brainchild of a man named Alex Jordan. Boy, this guy was fascinating because he collected, the House on the Rock is called a collection of collections. He actually lived very humbly, and this was a multi-millionaire, in a two-bedroom apartment in Madison. He was an avid reader, and he would read about these places around the world and then find the artifacts that he read about. If he couldn't find them, he'd recreate them. So he built this house on a rock. It's actually Chimney Rock, so it is stunning. And he created this marvel. So when you go to this house, it's not like touring my house. That'll take you about 2 minutes. This is going to take you hours. I mean, you're in a house walking through something that's called the streets of yesteryear. So it's got brick streets, and you're passing a little barber shop, a doll shop. You're passing basically a city inside a house. It is so unusual. A couple features it's famous for is one is called the Infinity Room. So when you see the house, you'll see this room that jets out over the Wyoming Valley. And they call it an engineering marvel because it's over 200 feet from the valley below it. It's got 3,200 windows for walls. And if you jump up and down, you can feel it move just a little bit.
And
yeah,
if you're,
it's kind of cool. But he has everything from suits of armor to 200 model ship displays. He's got an organ room. And, of course, he's famous for the carousel. It's the world's largest carousel without animals on it.
In the house?
Yeah, in the house. This is all in the house, and it takes hours to walk through. So some people, you know, it's really interesting because the first time I went through it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of freaky. Every time I go through it, I see more and more his brilliance. And you learn more about the collections, and now I just love it. It is like a visual encyclopedia of unusual objects through time.
That's a really good way
cool.
to put it. Okay, that's on my list, too. We are talking about tourism in Wisconsin, taking your calls, 800-642-1234. I was about a month ago in Green Bay. I did not see the National Railroad Museum, but people there told me that I need to come back and look at it. What is so awesome about that?
Well, the National Railroad Museum, one, they do incredible events throughout the year. So I'm going to send you back at Halloween because they do a train ride in Halloween that's haunted, and yet it's still kind of fun. And so just to be able to ride is a neat thing. But the National Railroad Museum has some of the most historic trains over time, including the porters. So you're going to learn about American history, railroad history, but they make it relevant to today. So it's not like reading about something that doesn't matter anymore. And I think that's the biggest thing about the National Railroad Museum is you see how our history was built and the relevance of it today. So Green Bay is just a great place to spend several days. The National Railroad Museum is a must. They have a botanical garden there that is so gorgeous. It, you know, when I toured there, it looks like a fake movie set. I mean, it's just that beautiful, that I almost want to use the word perfect. You feel like you're not even in reality. It's just this gorgeous haven. And, of course, Green Bay has great breweries, award-winning breweries. It has Lambeau Field and the Packers Hall of Fame. And I hear you are quite the Packer enthusiast.
I am indeed. And when I was there, I made my pilgrimage to Lambeau Field.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Tell me your thoughts.
It first of all, it just kind of comes out of nowhere. You're just driving down the street, and there it is. And I kind of started hyperventilating. But they also have a really great restaurant that we ate at and kind of walked around. Yeah, I was happy. I'm happy.
Oh, I'm so glad. And, you know, across from Lambeau Field now, they have the Titletown District. And that's relatively new in the last couple of years. I especially recommend it. Well, it's year-round, but in the winter, they have a tubing hill. Mm. So your view on top of the tubing hill is Lambeau Field.
Right, I saw that too.
And the ice skating rink. And in the summer, they do all these kids' activities. So Titletown District, if you haven't been to Green Bay since they've developed it, go for that. Just go for that alone.
I want to say that Kathy on Facebook recommends 4th of July in Ashland. She writes, when I saw it a few years ago, it had several Northwoods-themed floats, and Smokey the Bear walked in the parade. So, Kathy, thank you for that. We are talking about Wisconsin and tourism in Wisconsin, taking your calls, 800-642-1234. And our Facebook page is open and people are posting on it. Jean on Facebook says the Dells of the Eau Claire County Park, that's east of Wausau, and also Marathon County. Eau Claire County Park, I've not heard of that, Stephanie.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I thank her for that recommendation because it's got a geologic feature that is so well known. And it is out of the way. You have to know where you're going. It is absolutely worth the trip. It's out of the way, and it's hard to describe it. She might be able to describe it better than me. I've only been there one time. But it is this cool geologic formation called Dells of the Eau Claire, so people actually think it's Wisconsin Dells. It is not. And it's just a beautiful place to visit.
Okay, so Jean, I'm going to give you an assignment and post a link or something so we know more where to go to get to these Dells. It's the morning show, and we are talking about tourism in Wisconsin. We have so many topics. We're going to run out. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234, in a moment. It's the morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking to Stephanie Klett, who is the head of the tourism department in Wisconsin, about where to go on a staycation in your own state. We are taking your calls and your Facebook messages, 1-800-642-1234. Facebook, the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Mike from Mazomani has called us. Stephanie, welcome, Mike.
Good morning.
So what is your recommendation?
Well, I think the first thing people should do is stop by any gas station and pick up a gazetteer, which is a collection of county maps, basically.
Hmm.
And very highly detailed. Shows many roads you're not going to see on a normal, you know, fold-up map. But all of the lesser-known points of interest will be on the maps. And just get off and take some back roads, you know, and people in the car can maybe learn how to teach their kids how to read a map. it's just a way to really get off the beaten track and see some beautiful country.
Thank you for that, Mike. I think that a lot of kids will be like, a map on paper? What is that? I don't understand.
I love that suggestion because our back roads are, you know, and we have so many rustic roads in the state. And being new to the state, rustic roads are the roads less traveled. You have to go 45 miles per hour or less, and they have to offer some kind of unusual beauty or historic, you know, a historic item. So take the road less traveled. I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
So speaking of roads, I have actually spent a lot of time going from Chicago to Waterloo, Iowa, and just realized that all those beautiful hilly areas that I went through in Dubuque were actually part of the Driftless area. Is that correct?
It is. And the Driftless area is awesome. It's really considered Southwest Wisconsin. It's the area of the state that the glacier did not hit. And so it's beautiful. You're going to have these coulees and bluffs and streams. In the Driftless area, they have the Kickapoo River, which is one of the crookedest rivers in the world. It flows north, south, east, and west.
Mm.
But, yeah, it runs 92 miles. I shouldn't say the area. It's bigger than that. But they have what's called the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway that's part of this Driftless area. And that runs 92 miles from Sauk Prairie to the Mississippi River. So that is great for tubing, fishing, paddling, camping on sandbars, which is so cool and kind of freaky. They have the Wisconsin Scenic Byway in the Driftless area. So you'll go through towns like Muscadet, which is home to the Morel Mushroom Festival, to Prairie du Sac, which is home to the award-winning Wollersheim Winery, one of the best, to Prairie du Chien, which, if you are new to Wisconsin, you have to go to Prairie du Chien just for Wyalusing State Park, because at that park, you will be on this bluff, and you will see where the Wisconsin and Mississippi meet, the confluence of them, and it is stunning.
Okay, I definitely have to go see that. It sounds like, you know, it's very lush and green in the summertime, obviously, not in the wintertime. And when I hear the Driftless area, I think dystopian sort of film, something like that. We're sending you to the Driftless area because you haven't learned to obey. But it's actually one of the most beautiful places that I have ever seen.
Oh, what a nice thing to say. And if you like that region, that I'm going to recommend something for you called the Great River Road. And it's interesting because, you know, for folks on the western part of the state, you know, everybody knows the Great River Road. But sometimes, you know, from Milwaukee to Door County, it's so far away, you know, across the state, they don't really know about it. So the Great River Road is Wisconsin's only national scenic byway. So picture this. It's 250 miles along the west side of our state, and it's all along the Mississippi River. And so you talk about feeling like a blast from the past. You'll drive through 33 towns. And obviously you don't have to do all 250 miles in a day. Break it up. Come back over and over. But a few years back, the Huffington Post did a thing about what's the prettiest drive in America. And it was, the finalists were Hawaii, California's, you know, Big Sur, that was it, road number one. And then the winner was the Great River Road in Wisconsin.
Okay.
It's stunning. And the railroads, you know, the trains are going by you. The Mississippi's on one side. The big bluffs are on the other. And you're going through these towns. And I just have to do a big shout-out to Little Stockholm, Wisconsin, because it's like a population of 66. But they have, it's just such a great place to spend a day because they have the Stockholm Pie Company and General Store. if you have, this is what's great. Stockholm is Wisconsin, and yet it was voted best pie company in Minnesota because it's where all the Minnesota folks like to vacation.
Fascinating.
So, oh, they do a coconut cream pie that'll make you weep.
Okay. So we have like a minute left here. I want to ask you about Monarch Public House, which is Wisconsin's oldest serving establishment. Beer was served there originally in 1856. Where is that, and why should we go? You have about 30 seconds.
Okay, that's on the Great River Road. It's the northern part.
Oh, excellent.
And so the Monarch Tavern and Preservation Hall is like four stories high. It's, again, got a view of the Mississippi and the downtown. It's historic. It's got Irish cuisine that is fantastic. It's got its own cave. It's got a dish called Death by Pizza that has like a pound of toppings on it.
That's it. That's mine.
It's amazing. Yeah. You just put it on your list and send me a thank you card.
I will do that. Stephanie Klett, you do have an encyclopedic knowledge of everything in Wisconsin. Stephanie is the secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Thank you for being with us, ma'am.
Oh, it was great to meet you, Carrie.
It's the morning show. Today's Wisconsin Life is about a nerve-wracking descent into the caves at Ledgeview Nature Center. Here's Steve Gotcher.
For some, the thought of descending into the depths of a dark, tight cave is the stuff of nightmares. For Robert Root, the challenge of facing that fear was a journey he needed to take.
I'm the only one signed up for the cave tour at the Ledgeview Nature Center, but Jane Mangari, the assistant naturalist, agrees to lead it. Despite a fear of tight, dark places, I'd resolved to explore a cave. Now I have no excuse to back out. We walk to the entrance on the roofs of caves. Jane explains how the solution caves below us were carved by seepage of rain and snowmelt that sometimes became underground streams and even waterfalls. The ground beneath us is honeycombed with chambers and channels. The Carolyn's Caverns cave system is over 700 feet long. It's accessible part of the year for tours, but closed from October to May for bat hibernation. Its first room, the bat room, has an opening in its steel door for bats, big brown, little brown, long-eared, and tricolored bats, to enter and exit. Jane urges me to explore two side rooms. I smile gamely and commit myself to crawling and clambering. I squirm on my belly in and out of one narrow passage and climb down a ladder into a small enclosed space with a muddy bottom. I hope I've acclimated myself to what's ahead. We wander through other rooms and passages, stepping carefully on the uneven floor, wary of protrusions near our heads. I bend, I stoop, I crawl on my hands and knees, and I slither outright. Only one space is especially tight, less so for Jane than for me, but crawling through passages like the whale's throat and the kid's passage means venturing into long, dark holes with no chance to raise my head or propel myself by any means other than elbows and thighs. I try not to think about getting stuck and soon realize I don't need to think about it. When we descend to Carolyn's Cave, the original entrance to the system, we're 17 feet below the surface. At the bottom of Dave's sink, the deepest room, we're 36 feet, four stories underground. At times, bending to look down a dark passage, I feel the lure of crawling in to see just how far it would take me, how tangled and interconnected the cavities might be. Jane illuminates layers of Silurian strata, fossils, miniature stalactites, chert and cave coral. She steers me around hungry mud, the sticky pools on the cave floors, remnants of times the caves have been flooded, at least once as much as 18 feet deep. By the time we make the long crawl through the whale's throat back to the bat room, I'm busy thinking about the slow and relentless formation of the caves, the scale of their existence. Despite the weight of the rock strata above me, the density of the walls around me, the impenetrable darkness beyond this room, I feel no eagerness to leave the caves. When we reach daylight, I feel no sense of relief. I suppose you could say I confronted my fear of crawling in caves and overcame it. It seems to me more likely that I was too absorbed in where I was to notice my fear. Neither the caves nor my guide would let me think about that.
Robert Root is the author of Walking Home Ground, Time, Terrain, Transition, and other books. He is currently a teaching artist at the Loft Literary Center in Minneapolis and a freelance editor of essays, memoirs, and literary nonfiction. He lives in Waukesha. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Steve Gotcher.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Maureen McCollum. You can hear pieces on this program during Friday's Wisconsin Weekend Show right here on the Ideas Network. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings at WPR.org. That's mornings at WPR.org. And we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend programming. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Milwaukee. I'm Carrie Kaufman, and this is The Morning Show.